Welcome to Social Geek Radio. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Hi there. Welcome to Social Geek Radio. This is Deb Evans, one of the co-hosts here in the Houston Social Geek Radio location.
And Jack Munson of Kigo in the Social Geek Radio North Studios in Chicago. What's going on tonight, Deb?
It's cool. Labor Day's come and gone. If you are a Facebook user, all you see is first day of school photos, even though here in Texas, the first day of photos have been going on for the last 3 weeks because they started school some time ago. But now I'm seeing all my Northeast friends and everybody else that's starting school.
Right.
But yeah.
Right. I saw someone today posted a funny picture.
I saw
an
that.
Adult with his 8,000 days of school
work.
Or something like or of work.
Right? So yes,
that was a pretty cool thing that we must have both seen on
yes.
Facebook. So as we get into being back in school and being back in work, I'm hoping that most people have stopped taking vacation like they have for the past month, and will we be getting back down to business. We wanted to talk a little bit tonight about what's happening on all of the social media platforms, mm-hmm. specifically those involved in video. It seems like a year ago, 2 years ago, video was still just sort of a nice function that people were playing around with, mostly on Facebook and sharing their YouTube videos onto Facebook, but no one was really doing anything too exciting from a brand perspective, and especially not from a small business perspective. But a year goes by and wham, here we are. Everything that matters on Facebook specifically seems to be revolving around video now, right?
Absolutely. And Mark Zuckerberg did a live video today, which I was able to watch some of it. Me and I think 1.2 billion other people. But one of the things they were talking about, they said, oh, what's happened in the last 10 years? What's new? What's different? What's going to make a difference? And this is where my ears popped up. What's going to make a difference if you're a Facebook user? And what did they say? Video.
Yeah.
The video capabilities.
And it was another Facebook executive. I don't remember if it was the COO or whom it was, that said within the next 5 years, Facebook will be 100% video. And I thought, I don't think it's going to take 5 years. I think we're 2 years, maybe 1 year away from that.
Yeah. Wait, because
or at least it being the only thing that shows up in your newsfeed.
In your newsfeed, because it's easy and Facebook likes it. And it tells a better story other than posting how we started 10 years ago with Facebook by just an update, by, little text saying, this is what I'm doing or this is what my business is doing. So, I like the videos. And
you obviously do. And you're sort of leading people into doing what they should do, and that's posting Facebook Live videos.
Yes.
Do you want to give us sort of the step-by-step instructions that you were sharing last week?
Yeah, so it used to be, and I'll say there's two ways now to be able to start a live video. 2 weeks ago, you had to go into your status update, where it says what's on your mind, by clicking on that, and as though you're going to start, and you can still do it this way. There's an option that says photo, video, or do live video. And we're all talking about, using your smartphone to do this. You may notice now, and I've seen that a lot of people have missed this. When you open Facebook, generally open Facebook on your phone, at the very top, it doesn't say just video. It says live, or it says photo, or it says check in.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're putting it right there in front of you. I love to think, see how Facebook thinks. It's like, how can we get Deb to really do this video? She's going to do it anyway, but, just click on the live. When you click on that, the first thing you need to be aware of is which way is your camera facing? Do you want the camera facing yourself or do you want it facing forwards and you film what it is that you're looking at? So that's always the first thing I say is check that. Second thing is describe your video. What are you going to call this? If it falls in somebody's stream, I want it to be a title, even if I'm just testing something, or if I'm live at Chang Cohen's offices, or where live in Chicago, wherever I may be, give it a title. And then you just click go live. And to stop it, once you're done filming your live video, is just going to be at the top, because a lot of times people don't see it, and you're going to stop the video, or you're going to say finish. So there's, again, two ways of doing a live video. One, you have to have Facebook on your phone, on your smartphone, the app itself, and then either do it within a status update or click the little icon or the words that say live. I do recommend businesses to consider going live from their page. And to do that, if you're on a business page, if you use the Pages app, in order to go live from a business page, you have to do it within a status update. And the icons look like a human silhouette at the bottom, and that's how you're going to go live. Once you go live and it's on your page, go back. You can edit the title. You can add a thumbnail for the video. Give it, you know, you can design a picture, you know, Deb's Gone Live with Social Geek Radio, and upload that so that you have a different thumbnail, make it more engaging for people to click on it, and add tags. It's just like a YouTube video. Facebook allows you, once you upload that video, or once you take that live video, to add tags, again, hoping that people will see it. So it's doing the live, but remember to go back and edit and give it a little bit of some enhancements so that it appears in the stream of your followers.
Now, when you do that editing and you go back and first of all, I think making sure you have that title exactly how you want it with you know, a name or a city or something as you described, I think that's really important, because it's the title that people are going to look at and decide, am I going to watch this or not?
Right.
But also, can you change the thumbnail for the people who aren't watching it live, but for the people who see it later on? So you can go through the whole video and choose a thumbnail?
Well, here's what it allows you to do. It says upload a thumbnail. So Facebook, give it a thumbnail, but you can upload your own thumbnail, which is can be, you know, a different type of picture or words. So upload a thumbnail. The other thing, which I forgot to mention a second ago, is tagging. So I said, for example, I went to, when I was in Chicago, I went to visit the offices of 1851 and our friends at No Limit Agency. I didn't do a live video from there, but when I went to visit Chang Cohen's offices, our franchise supplier law firm, I did a live video. Now, when I'm doing the video itself, I can't tag somebody or something else. The tagging comes after. After it's loaded on Facebook, it's processed, I go back in and I do the edits. I can upload a different thumbnail, I can add tags, and I can tag other people or pages. And, you know, you and I know that, let's say I did the live video of visiting Chang Cohen's office and only people that are following my page would see it. But once I tag Chang Cohen, and they've got, you know, another couple hundred people that are following them, there's more of an opportunity, because it'll say in the stream, Chang Cohen was mentioned in this tag. So
right, and you want them to see it as well, so then maybe they'll share the video with all of their fans and so forth too. That's interesting about not being able to tag it when you go live, but it's really, the tagging is something, you know, for really for the playback later on.
Correct.
that will still show up.
Right.
Let me ask you about that when it comes to doing the live video versus having something that people will want to watch later on. What do you recommend as far as a length? I see people doing Facebook live videos that, in my opinion, just kind of go on and on and on, and they don't really know when to you know, say good night, ladies and gentlemen, and you know, and let people get on with their day. And I could see, you know, if you're doing a live of, you know, it's a presidential press conference, or, you know, it's a concert, or there's something actually happening that's 20 minutes long, I could see that, you know, making sense to cover the entire event. But if you're just saying, you know, what's happening in your local business today, come on down, check this out, here's something cool to look at, how long are you recommending to businesses to do a live video?
Well, I'd say if you get your message across in 1 minute, that's all it needs to be. If you're, as you mentioned, if it's an event, you know, like if we've done the Franchise Business Network events or watching a ball game or whatever it might be, then it's as long as the event is. So I'd say just keep it as short as you can. The thing with the Facebook Live, and I know we're going to talk about Periscope and other live video as well, you have to remember there's a little bit of a delay. And when you're first doing Facebook Live, it's always funny to be talking to yourself unless you're someone like me and you don't really care if anybody else is watching or not. But you have to let it process and you have to give it time for people to join. And you don't want to be finishing your 30-second commercial or message as people are just joining and you're ready to sign off. So, you know, the first 30 seconds or so is just information, just kind of like a little babble intro until people start joining. And then you get to the meat of it. So I'd say, you know, think of 10 to 30 seconds in the beginning is waiting for people to join this event. They're coming in, they're sitting down, they see it, they're ready. Do the meet, which might be 1 or 2 minutes, and then finish it, unless you're actually filming an event. Tours, I think, you know, I've been telling a lot of local businesses, give me a tour of your location. If it takes 5 minutes to tour your location of the Wild Birds Unlimited, then it's 5 minutes. But, you know, don't go on and on about, you know, one product or something that you have. If it's a minute, that's cool. Just give me the big overview of what I want to see in that business. So the live videos, and as Facebook was mentioning earlier today, you know, it's going to help your search ranking. It's live. You may not have more than 1 or 2 people watching it live, but it's the replays that's going to get a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. But Facebook likes the live event. So I'm thinking they're putting those live streams up, you know, a lot quicker than if I just upload a video of a tour that I did, you know, if I'm in Chang Cohen's offices or whatever. Doing it live makes more of an impact.
What I've noticed with the organic reach is if you do a live video, you're reaching – at times, it looks like it has to be 100% organic reach, you know, as our friend Nick Powell likes to call it, old school Facebook,
old school.
Right? Put something out there, and all of your fans actually see it. What a concept without paying for it.
Yeah.
But if you upload a video, though, we're not seeing that kind of organic reach.
You're not.
And if you share someone else's video, it's even less. It's still better than, you know, just posting text or posting a link, and you know, for heaven's sakes, everyone stop posting links to anything on YouTube, which we'll talk about in just a minute, because your organic reach on any link, including YouTube, is just absolutely horrible right now.
Right, so. It is. And we have to remember, Facebook is a business. We have to, it's you don't, if you like it or not, you might have to pay to play. So I always say, if you're going to boost those posts, add some advertising dollars behind those, you've gone to the trouble of doing a live video, let it reach the organic reach first, give it a couple of hours, maybe even a day or two, and then add the advertising dollars behind it if you want to boost it.
Great point. Yeah. So really get the maximum free or organic reach out of it first, and then put some dollars behind it, especially if after you've had a day to check it out and make sure it's exactly what you want to boost. Great point, Deb.
Yeah.
Briefly, let's talk about some of the other live social platforms out there and what's happening these days. One of the ones that you and I were big fans of back when it started, back in the old days, as I like to say, Google Hangouts Air from the old Google Plus platform. It appears to me that you'll still be able to do the regular Google Plus Hangouts, you know, just a one-on-one conversation, I think, but I'm not sure. That appears to still be up and running as of early September. But what they're saying is as of September 12th, Google Hangouts on Air, which I never really understood that distinction, that is now going over to YouTube Live.
Right.
And you've checked out YouTube Live for doing Hangout-type activities. What are your thoughts on it?
So here's the difference. You know, the Google Hangouts were meant for one-on-one or multiple people, up to 10, just to hang out. The Hangouts on Air was the ability to record, which you and I used to like to do for Social Geek Radio recording. So that's the distinction between the Hangouts and the Hangouts on Air. And I'm real disappointed that the Hangouts on Air, even though it was not always intuitive, there were days it worked really well and there were days that it totally didn't work. But I miss that because I love being able to that video recording capability where then it would automatically upload to YouTube. Yeah. Going to YouTube Live now, you have to jump through a bunch of hoops and fill out forms and get some encoding and this and that. It's like, I stopped. It's like, I'm not downloading anything more on my computer. It's not easy. Hangouts on Air was just boom. I had Google Hangouts. I could just go there. I don't see as it is now, unless it changes, anybody really going to YouTube Live and recording live. It's too much work. I'm not going to go through that.
Yeah. Yeah. And frankly, it's too much work when all you have to do if you really want to go live to where most of your fans are anywhere is open up the Facebook app and click the live button and you're on the air. It just it seems like everybody else is suddenly chasing Facebook Live. And I don't know who's going to be successful at this. While we're at it, let's talk a little bit about Periscope because it really feels to me that a lot of the good stuff in Facebook Live really started over, you know, a year, 2 years ago in Periscope, and Facebook has really perfected it. What are you seeing happening on Facebook now that it's becoming more and more of a division of, for lack of a better word, of Twitter?
So what you can do, so when Periscope first came out, you had to try to get your Periscope followers or follow those that use Periscope, and you would download the Periscope app. Periscope is owned by Twitter, and if you did Periscope, it would play over to your Twitter page. You could see it on Twitter. What they've just done recently, and I think it's been like the last week or two, is that I don't have to have my Periscope app. I don't have to have a Periscope app. I can just go to my Twitter app. So if I tweet, which I do, I use the Twitter app on my smartphone. And if I go to the Twitter app and I open it up, and where I would post an update, that little icon with the feather means I'm going to write something. Well, what you see now on the opportunity to, where it says what's happening is you see a photo, you see video, and then you see live. Well, if I click on live, it's I would say it's like Twitter Live, but it's Periscope Live. And it's just like it's Periscope within Twitter. No need to have two apps. It's like I can finally get rid of one of the apps on my phone. I don't need a Periscope app. I'll just go live via Twitter. And it's just like it was on Periscope. You give it a title. You make sure it's similar to Facebook Live. Is my camera facing forward? Is it facing me? Do I want the live broadcast to go right to Twitter? So here's the thing that's really cool. Let's say, I've got, I forget how many thousand followers on Twitter. I don't have that many following me on Periscope. So I'm not going to use that Periscope app. I'm going to use Periscope within Twitter because my Twitter followers will get a notification. They'll see it as though I were to write a tweet. They see my live broadcast within Twitter.
Yeah, it's sort of like we were talking about last week with using Instagram stories versus using Snapchat.
Right.
Where Snapchat, you might still be in the mode of you have to build up a following, but if you've already got this large following or number of followers on Instagram, why not just, serve those people up live video and tell your story there. So I think I think what you've discovered on Twitter is sort of the same thing. If you know, Twitter's been around for a decade now. So if you've got thousands of followers, why try to build up your street cred on Periscope and just focus on sharing video with your fans or your followers or connections that you already have on Twitter?
Right. And the one thing I know, so I tested it. I had just tested it today for the first time, doing it within Twitter. I can tell you that whenever I've opened up Periscope, it takes a while for those people to come into that Periscope room and see that I'm broadcasting, because I don't have that many followers there. When I did it on Twitter today, I had four live people, like seconds. It's like, oh,
instantly.
Yeah, they're following me. And I just said, oh, I'm just testing things. Here you go. So I just see that as a great benefit. And I'm literally just deleted my Periscope app on the phone. It's like, I'm going to do it within Twitter.
You know, and I wonder, and, you know, looking at it from a brand point of view, does Periscope even have the brand recognition and credibility that even matters anymore? Or will we see the Periscope brand sort of just fade away and it will become Twitter Live?
Yeah,
and
I think
no one will even consider it Periscope anymore.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Twitter Live.
Some other news along the same lines. Periscope announcing last week that they're opening up advertising so brands can now sponsor a series of broadcasts on Periscope. But again, it's all going through Twitter's Amplify program. So it's really advertising for Twitter Live, and I think maybe Periscope will go bye-bye someday.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Periscope, it was just a year ago. This month that they had the big first Periscope summit in New York City, and it was big and it was cool. Then they had a second summit. I haven't seen a third or a fourth. I really, it kind of quieted down and I don't regret going. I mean, it was really cool and it was really hot right then, but I think, with Facebook and with Twitter really taking over Periscope, you're going to see some changes there.
Yeah, good. Terrific. That was a great rundown, Deb, of what's happening with live video social media platforms. And let's revisit this in about 4 months, maybe at the beginning of 2017, because I think it will all be different once again.
I think so. Very good. So before we leave and close our broadcast today, you've got some exciting things coming up within franchising and some great events really soon, the month of September and October before we get to franchise in October.
There's several events coming up that anybody connected with Social Geek Radio and any listeners might want to check out if they're in any of these places. All sort of surrounding the franchise industry, which we're very active in. First coming up the next week, the week of the 12th, is the Franchise Action Network annual meeting in Washington, D.C. So come join us and you can meet with some of your favorite legislators on Capitol Hill from your home state and talk about some of the issues important to the International Franchise Association. The week after that, I'll be attending the Springboard Conference in Philadelphia. Lots of great franchise and marketing minds will be attending that as well. And then at the end of this month in Atlanta, it's Franchise Updates Franchise Leadership and Development Conference, and that's taking place at the very end of September in Atlanta. So if anybody is in any of those locations or if you're traveling in, let me know. We'd love to chat with you at the show. Of course, the big one for us, Deb, coming up then in mid-October, actually toward the end of October, it's the 26th and 27th of October in Austin, Texas. It's the 2016 version of FranTech, and registration for that is now open. If you're interested in joining us there, please go to franchise.org and find the event section and register for FranTech, again, October 26th and 27th in Austin, Texas.
Yes, sir. It's going to be great. We're going to have a good time.
Lots all right, and way too many hashtags to share for all of those. So yeah. just hashtag Social Geek Radio.
That's
and
it.
We'll help people.
We'll help them.
There you go.
Well, very good.
All right. Thanks for joining us tonight, everybody. Good night.
Good night.